views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. This is Aaron Lojeski, guest hosting for David Peruse. You're listening to 660 AM KFAR Problem Corner. And today, our guest host is the borough clerk, April Tricky. We're going to be taking phone calls in the second half of the program. The phone number for that is 458-8255. Also, 458-TALK, another way for the same number. So, good morning, Fairbanks. Ms. Tricky, welcome to the radio station. Is this the first time you've ever been on KFAR?
Yes, it is.
You haven't even called in over the years? Or
I remember listening many years ago, but it's been quite a long time ago.
You've been too busy working and being the clerk and to call in. Is that right?
That is correct. Normally, I am very busy at work.
Okay. So, before we get into what the borough clerk does, why don't you introduce yourself to listeners. Who are you? Where are you from? What's your background? That sort of thing.
Well, as Mr. Lojeski just said, I am April Tricky. My family moved to Fairbanks, Alaska in 1974. Pretty much lived here most of my life. And we settled out in a small community of Two Rivers with no electricity, no running water. We just did the normal Alaska adventure that most people really want to come and do in Alaska.
So when you moved out there, you were a kid with your family.
Correct.
How far out did the power lines go?
Well, the power lines we were at 23.5 mile Chena Hot Springs there. And the power lines, there was power on the other side of the road, but not on the side of the road that we lived on. And there were no phones or power
okay,
on that
so
side.
So it's one of those things where you could have gotten power, but it would have been just like extremely expensive.
Very extremely expensive at that time. And my parents my dad always wanted to come to Alaska. We had several family members that came up. He had a couple uncles and my grandparents. And there was a whole gypsy load of us that came up the Alcan that summer. And we were the only family that stayed that winter. The rest of them all went back to the States and came back up the following year.
So you had a bunch of extended families that came up in the same movement. Now, what did everyone have the same intention when you all came up, or was the plan for some to go back and just yours to stay, or how did that work out?
The plan was for the family to move up to Alaska and see the adventure. I mean, when we came up, we traveled the whole entire state. We went down to Anchorage. We went down to the Kenai Peninsula. There was a family that stayed in Anchorage. And then the last stop was we spent about a month out in Esther in the tailings before there was anything there while my parents and my uncles and they were getting jobs and looking for property. And they purchased property out there on the Hot Springs Road that summer.
And then, so you were living off the grid as a kid. Mm-hmm. That could be interesting, and I know there's some people listening who've definitely done that too. A lot who haven't, but did your family get into hunting, fishing, or was it mostly going into town to Fred Meyer's, or did you have a garden, or how are you taking care of basic food and everything?
So my dad's always been a hunter from California. That's where he was born and raised, hunted in Idaho. Of course, we hunted just like a lot of families. We also put in a huge garden every year. We had chickens, meat chickens. We did some eggs. We just lived the normal, I would say, country lifestyle just out there in off of the Hot Springs Road.
And did you get power before you left the house?
We did. We did get power. My dad was very the first winter, he actually pounded a well with his Bronco in the middle of the winter because he was tired of hauling water. And he also, we got generators. And so we operated on a generator for quite a few years, 2 or 3 years before GVA brought power in on that side of the road. So we were very fortunate. I know, like, my husband's family, they weren't as fortunate. You know, they did their work with the propane lanterns while, you know, my father, we'd come home from school, turn the generator on with a switch, and we had power. And so I was fortunate because I had a father who was very mechanically inclined and had the ability to do a lot of those things.
Okay, so you said he pounded a well with a Bronco. You mean a car, basically?
Yeah, so we brought up a Bronco, and what he did is he welded two tire rims together, and so he used it as a pulley and stuff, and so he pounded that well in the middle of the winter.
Well, did he get, like, some sort of giant spike that was like a drop spike and just kind of...
Well, my dad, one of the things, he's kind of a jack-of-all-trades. He was an equipment operator for many years, but he was also a great welder before we came. He was welding a horse trailer, and he used that to haul of our possessions up when we came to Alaska. I'll just be honest, he could do anything.
some good Alaska ingenuity there. He was destined to be an Alaskan. So eventually, of course, you grow up and you start a career. What was your first job?
Well, my first job was actually picking vegetables out at Tax truck farm out there off the Hot Springs when I was a teenager. Me and my sisters, we would go and pick vegetables that they were selling at the farmer's market and to the grocery stores.
And then how does this eventually become your first borough job? What's the chain of events?
All right. So my dad did move us to Homer, Alaska, my last year and a half of high school. And while I was there, I was asked if I wanted to work in the city clerk's office in Homer as part of getting a couple credits for high school, and I chose to do that. So I worked in the city clerk's office there in Homer for about 9 months. And when I got married, I moved back up. My husband here is from Fairbanks. We moved back up. And over the years, in 88, I finally, somebody said, put a job application in for the borough. They had a casual position. And I came and started working at the borough clerk's office in the fall of 88.
Okay, so your first job was with the clerks at the borough, you know, right? Mm-hmm. And that, you felt really comfortable applying for that because you'd already been at least a temporary clerk assistant, whatever you call it, down in Homer. That sounds like it's almost like a hybrid of like an internship, right, that you sort of had there in high school with the clerks, right, in Homer.
Yeah, it was like an internship, and I will just have to say, if you know anything about 1988 in Fairbanks, Alaska, the economy was down, construction was bad, my husband was in construction, and so I was looking for a job. So they said, go do the interview, April, and I went, okay, I went and did the interview, and I ended up getting the job, so very thankful.
Yeah, interesting that's the time when the state economy was poor, but I think the state government was doing a little bit better than the overall economy. Even though prices dropped, throughput was raging through the pipeline, you know, over 2 million barrels a day at that time, and all those royalties coming in. So, any rate, so you started at the borough's clerk's office, and I know you took a break for, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, something like that, and then you came back.
Yeah, I was gone for 8 years while my children were little. After I had my daughter, I left, and also my husband and I were building his company that we purchased in 94. So,
also, you're an entrepreneur as well. Now, we're about to go to a break here at Fairbanks, and we'll see you in just a few minutes.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Barrett McCombie with an update on fishing in Valdez. When LaVon Basinger of Fairbanks reeled in a 14.54-pound silver salmon and won the daily prize back in August 4th, she was thinking a bigger silver salmon would come in during the Valdez Silver Salmon Women's Derby and knock her off the leaderboard. Basinger was unable to fish that day because she was babysitting her grandchildren so her daughter could fish in the women's derby aboard her boat, The Fixed Income. Basinger laughably said that she would be fine if she got knocked off the leaderboard if it was her daughter that caught the bigger fish. Basinger's daughter did not win the women's derby, and no one knocked Basinger out of her first place spot on the leaderboard. With less than a week before the end of the derbies, Basinger is still leading the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby, and the possibility of winning the $10,000 grand prize was very real last week. When asked what she would do with the money, Basinger responded,
"Well, if we win, I would like to give some money to charity and to our church, to God, in thanksgiving for the blessings of getting the fish and getting the prize."
In first place overall in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby is LaVon Basinger of Fairbanks, Alaska, who caught a 14.54-pound salmon. In second place is Cord Basna of Ione, Washington, who caught a 12.54-pound salmon. And in third place is Craig Henniger of Delta, Alaska, who got a 12.44-pound salmon.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a boat rental and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, bring it in for processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Chance for scattered thunderstorms today, otherwise cloudy. Highs around 68, easterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms tonight, lows around 51. Overcast, cloudy tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely 64. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks North Pole. This is Aaron Lojeski, guest hosting in for David Pruse on Problem Corner. Our guest today is April Trickey, the borough clerk. We are going to be taking phone calls in the second half of the program. The phone number for that is 458-TALK. 458-8255. So April, you were working for, you took a break. You said you basically started a business. You helped raise some kids. So that makes you a mom, an entrepreneur, a small business owner, and then you come back and you're with the clerk's office until today.
Actually, when I came back to the borough, in 2000, I started with the General Services Department and I worked in procurement for about 12 years, and then I went over to rural services for a year, and then I was back when I was appointed as a deputy borough clerk in 2013.
Okay, hold up. Let me make sure I heard that right. You come back, you do procurement.
Correct.
And then you make the move back to the clerk's office.
Yes, there was a year in there that I worked at rural services.
Oh, okay, right, rural services, okay. And so the borough clerk, of course, that's kind of why we have you on here today. I looked at code here. As I sometimes do. And also, I need to make a disclaimer here. I am on the Borough Assembly, but I am acting as the guest host here of Problem Corner, and any opinions that I may share are my own, and they don't necessarily represent anything that the Assembly may think or not think. But in Borough Code here, it's actually not that long, and I hadn't checked this for, I don't know, a year or more, for the Borough Clerk. And so the official duties are something like this. Give notice of the time and place of assembly meetings, keep the journal of assembly proceedings, procure for the assembly as required, publication of notices, ordinances, resolutions, and so forth. So basically, you know, records, official records for the assembly, and maintain, and the next one, D308020D, same thing, has to do with internal kind of records for the assembly, and so forth. But I know that the clerk does a lot more within code. The term clerk has many, many hits sprinkled throughout the rest. And of course, we'll have to fill this out. So basically, you support the assembly, you support the public with records, you support the whole borough with records, mm-hmm. and then elections. Now, is there anything big that I'm missing there?
I think the only other thing, too, that we do is not only do we support the assembly, but now we also support the boards and commissions of the assembly. We do the meeting management for all the boards and commissions out of our department too.
So pretty much if there is a public meeting being held in the chambers, and I think some of these are even held outside the chambers, but pretty much if there's a public meeting in the chambers, the clerk's office is supporting it, which would be letting the public know officially that it's occurring through some sort of newspaper notice, and then providing in-person professional support.
That's correct. That's what we do. We do meeting management, the agendas. We're really basically the liaison for the public between the assembly and the boards and commissions. And we also work with the administration when we're working and putting together assembly agendas and also the boards and commissions agendas. So.
And before we get any further, I actually am going to take a moment here to editorialize for my own opinion here. At our last Thursday meeting, and it's because it's related to this, we did pass a resolution, and it involves the Planning Commission. And I'm going to explain how folks can get on the Planning Commission if they want to, but the bottom line is there are multiple openings for multiple different types of commissioners, which we'll get into. And so if a listener out there has been thinking about getting involved in borough government, trying to make a difference, now's the perfect time to get involved with that Planning Commission. They really need members. And last I checked, and this is not the clerk's job, this is really more the mayor's job. I don't think that website had been updated, but I believe there's at least three openings, if not five or six. So what we did was, well, this is the way it was prior. The Planning Commission has 11 seats, and the assembly from time to time gets to say how many of them go to which geographic areas. And the old way was seven went to the borough. I'm going to repeat that. Seven were going to the borough. And that meant there were borough-only seats. You had to live in the borough outside the city to serve in one of those seats. Three went to the city of Fairbanks, and one went to the city of North Pole. And so you had to be a resident of one of those areas only, you know, just Fairbanks, just the city of North Pole, or just the borough to serve in them. So the population numbers have changed, and the city is now up to mathematically 3.75 seats if you do the math versus their population. So they got upgraded to four full seats. That also meant that the borough was kind of getting rounded down, with North Pole being rounded up. North Pole is only entitled to about 0.2, 0.25. And so basically there's now a North Pole / North Pole area seat. There are four Fairbanks seats and there are six borough seats, which means if you live in the city of Fairbanks, you need to go contact city council / city mayor and ask for an appointment. And if you live in the city of North Pole, you contact the North Pole mayor / city council to do that. If you live in the borough only and you want a borough only seat, you contact the borough mayor for that if you want to apply. I know this is a little complicated, but it's not so bad. I'm sure you can call the clerk's office if you need help, right, April? And you will act, give people directions?
Correct. You can contact the clerk's office, but also if you want to apply, you contact the mayor's office. So the boards and commission members who want to apply for a commission, if they contact the mayor's office, they can help them out, because that's where those go through.
But and then this is where it gets interesting. What if you live in the North Pole area, but not in the city of North Pole? Well, you can serve on two different flavors of seat. You could actually sit on either the North Pole / North Pole area seat, or you may qualify for the borough only seat as well. And right now I know for a fact that the North Pole seat is open. So that one you need to go through the North Pole mayor / city council to get that appointment. But you also could apply for a borough, a generic borough seat, because you live in the borough and you're outside of the cities. So that's kind of the new thing that happened. And anyway, just want to put that call out that we definitely need planning commissioners. And back to the questions for the clerk. Do you have any more comments on the boards and commissions, or should we move over to elections?
Let's talk about elections. That's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Okay, and I know there's been a lot of election changes. Why don't we first talk about who can work in election to help run it?
So any registered voter can work elections, unless there's some familiar relationships that you might have with any of the candidates who's on there, which we do check that. So we have been in the process of hiring our election officials for this year, and we do have a few spots that are still out there. And actually, I'll just put it out right now. I need a chair for Badger 1 Precinct. So anyone who really wants to work an election and take on more of a leadership role, this is a great spot for you to do that. Please contact the clerk's office.
And do those election chairs, don't they get paid like an extra dollar an hour over everyone else?
They do. They get paid $21 an hour instead of $20 an hour, just for the little bit extra work. But we have a board. We're just looking for a chair.
Okay, chair for Badger 1. And then the actual poll, well, we've got a bunch of stuff. But and you said a registered voter can work the election. Does that mean if you're not a registered voter and you're an adult, you cannot work as a poll worker?
You cannot work as a poll worker unless you are a registered voter here in the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
I did not know that. Interesting. But there's one exception. I know there's one exception.
There is.
What if you're 17 years old?
If you're 17 years old, we do have a youth program that youth workers can work. There are specific things that they do. They have to basically have a parent who will sign off. They do have to attend mandatory training. And I believe if there's just up to 2 youth workers can work each precinct.
Does the parent or guardian need to be a registered voter to sign off?
Does not require that.
Which is good. Okay, that means that if there's a young American, 17 years old, but parents aren't American yet, therefore can't be a voter, they can still be a poll worker when they're 17. What about 16? What's the age cutoff?
It is 16 and 17-year-olds.
A 16 or 17-year-old can, with the permission of their guardian, work the polls. And then for their working, is it going to be the full day, or is it going to be like a half shift, or how does that work?
It just depends upon whether the student is available. A lot of times it's after school, so it's a partial day. But if they're someone who is a homeschooler and the parent allows them to work the full day, they sure could do that.
Yeah, I remember when I was 17, I worked the, what would it have been, the 2005 presidential election. And my parents just called in and excused me for the day, and I just skipped school. But it was a good experience. It's actually the only poll I've worked myself, and it was, I don't remember if it was technically volunteer, if I got paid, but, and that was in a different state where I grew up. But anyway, okay, so we have poll workers. When is the election this year, the borough election?
The borough election is October 3rd, Tuesday, October the 3rd.
It's October 3rd, and so I guess when we say the election date, that's actually, like, in a way, you could say that's the end of the election, like the end of the voting period, because the voting period is actually much larger.
That's correct. So we will actually start our early voting station on September the 18th, and it will run through September 28th. And I know there's a lot of confusion out there. Can I take a moment just to explain the difference between early voting and in-person absentee voting?
Yep.
All right. So when you go and you vote at the early voting station, which is going to be at the Gavora Mall where we've had it the last few years, when you come up, we're going to look you up in a database. We're going to see that you're a registered voter. You're going to sign basically a precinct register just like you would do on a normal on election day. You'll sign that, basically also stating, too, that you're not going to vote any other method. You know, you're not going to go to the polls and vote. You get your ballot, you go into the booth, you vote, and then you'll run it through the precinct scanner, and that vote is tallied, but it runs through the scanner. And then on election night, the votes from the early vote station are uploaded on election night, just same like all the other 32 precincts in the borough, so they're part of the results. When you go and you vote in person, which we do have 2 vote in person stations, absentee stations, they're at the city halls, City of Fairbanks, City of North Pole. That's where you're going to go in, you're going to sign a register, but you're also going to fill out an oath and affidavit, and you'll vote, you'll put it in, you'll be sealed up in that envelope, and then our canvas board, after the election, the Wednesday following, will start to canvas and verify that, one, you are a registered voter, and the second thing, too, is to verify that you haven't voted in any other method, and go through that process. And those votes are not counted until October the 10th, I believe.
Okay, we're about to take a break. We'll see you in a few minutes, Fairbanks.
Thank you.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
I'm John Saucier. At least 49 counties in Florida now under a state of emergency as they brace for Hurricane Idalia. Pinellas County Emergency Management Director Kathy Perkins.
Many of you may have seen that the cone has shifted. You may have heard media personnel talking about how Pinellas County is outside of the cone. The cone does not tell you the whole story for where the impacts of the storm are.
It's expected to arrive in Florida as a Category 3 hurricane on Wednesday. A surge of migrants continues to arrive at the southern border. New York Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik on the Fox News Channel blames Democrats' refusal to resolve the crisis.
They need to show courage, and they need to show a political spine to say that this is a border crisis. Joe Biden's policies are not working. Our policies have caused this, and actually work with us to secure the border.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The White House reports that President Joe Biden will observe next month's 22nd anniversary of the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil at an Alaska military base with service members and their families. Biden will not participate in any of the observances at 9/11 memorial sites in New York City, Virginia, or Pennsylvania. Instead, the president will stop in Alaska for a September 11th observance at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage on his way back to Washington after a trip to Asia. Biden is scheduled to travel to India from September 7th to the 10th to attend a summit with other world leaders, followed by a stop in Vietnam. Vice President Kamala Harris will participate in the annual observance at the National September 11th Memorial and Museum in Lower Manhattan. First Lady Jill Biden will lay a wreath at the 9/11 Memorial at the Pentagon. And finally, it's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Congratulations to Dale Marshall with his winning 2,023-pound pumpkin. He takes the prize for the largest pumpkin at the Alaska State Fair in Palmer.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
An unforgettable experience awaits you in Valdez with Stan Stevens Glacier and Wildlife Cruises. On board, their Alaskan staff will show you the treasures of Prince William Sound, Columbia Glacier, Mears Glacier, cascading waterfalls, and playful wildlife. Tours depart daily and rates begin at only $155. Book your cruise today with Stan Stevens Cruises, the local experts in Prince William Sound since 1971. Call 866-867-1297 or log on to stanstevenscruises.com. Remember, a Valdez vacation is not complete without a journey with Stan Stevens Glacier and Wildlife Cruises.
The change of season means it's time for a change of equipment at Craig Taylor. The Honda lineup of snowblowers is ready for whatever winter brings. The Honda snowblowers at Craig Taylor include tracked or wheeled options with gas or electric power. Your new Honda snowblower will clear 32 inches with a throwing distance 56 feet. New stock is coming in now, so buy off the floor or reserve yours today. Craig Taylor Equipment, South Cushman at Van Horn.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Get your medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, only $6. Oh yeah, hot from the oven, fresh and fast. We know you're coming, so it's in the oven, fresh and fast. Customer Appreciation Day is today. One day only, medium cheese or pepperoni, just $6. Carry out only, fresh and fast.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at KFARradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to KFAR 660 AM Problem Corner with Aaron Lojeski, guest hosting in for David Pruse. Our guest today is April Tricky. We were just talking a little bit about early voting and absentee in-person voting that occurs in the October election. And to recap, this is the way I'm understanding it. The clerk may say this is technically wrong, but this is probably the way most of us will understand it. Early voting is basically voting normal. You just do it early. And there's only one location. Is that right? There's only one location to early vote?
That's correct.
And is that going to be the Shoppers Forum Mall again this year?
Yes, it is. The only difference is we're not going to be up front like we were last year. They've rented out that space. We'll be in the back where we were the previous couple, 2 years.
Okay, different room. And I remember where that is. You go in the main door from the parking lot. You walk just down the hallway and it's towards the back on the right.
That's correct.
And last year we were towards the front on the left when you walked in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, early voting is pretty much normal, except it's only one spot. And then I've actually got this printed out. When does early voting begin and end?
It begins September the 18th, and it ends September the 28th. And we're open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., except on that Sunday, we're open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., because that's when the mall is open.
Okay, and then personally, that's how I've voted, I think, every local election since early voting has begun, which, and it's only, a few years old, right?
Yeah, I think this is our fourth year.
I mean, the state has been doing it much, much longer, but it's important that folks know. You tell me, what's the difference between a state election and a borough election?
Well, the state election is the general election, which elects your state legislative and your federal delegation and the president. And a regular election that's held in October is your local election, where you're electing your assembly members, your school board members, your interior natural gas board members that are voted at large. And also on the same day is the city of Fairbanks and the city of North Poles election, where you're voting the city council seats there, and also the mayor's race when it's up for re-election.
Okay, and then I'll just add in, because actually what I was trying to tee you up for was that the local election is run by the borough clerk's office.
That's
but the
correct.
State's election is run by the Division of Elections, so two totally different entities running two separate elections. Yet, sometimes the polling places are the exact same location, and actually I believe the machines are, they're not literally the same machines, but they're the same model of machines.
That is correct.
Counting machines.
Right. And they are, normally the polling locations are set by the state of Alaska, which we're required to use those polling locations by Title 15. Unless for some reason a polling location is not available. Like this year, we have an election this year, but as you guys know, there's not a state election. As the local election, we have an election every year. And so like this year, this kind of leads me up into something, if I can take a moment. We do have three polling place location changes. Two of them are permanent locations out at the precinct for Eielson Farm Road, and Moose Creek has been moved to the Faith Baptist church that is out there in Moose Creek from the fire station, and that's a permanent location change. We have notified the voters out there of that change, since it's not a state election year, or they would have done that notification. And the other one is Fairbanks 1, which is normally at the Nolwing Library. That is being changed to the Carlson Center because the Nolwing Library is under renovations. And I just wanted to note, we did mail out postcards, and we've had a lot of calls coming in the last couple days, because unfortunately, when the mail went out, they did a sort on the on the list of all the registered voters, and some names got mixed up. So we're re-notifying those voters that yes, the state of Alaska voter registration system does have your name correctly. It was a mistake on our mistake here at the borough in regards to that. So
in theory, like for Fairbanks 1, all of them should have gotten a postcard.
Correct.
That said, hey, go to the Carlson Center this year.
That's right.
Vote in person.
And they're going to get two postcards because of the mix-up on the names. We're sending them back out.
Fairbanks 1 will get two postcards. Mm-hmm. But does that mean a few people outside of Fairbanks 1 accidentally got the postcard that was for Fairbanks 1?
No. All the addresses, it was really a sort. They did a sort to kind of help out with those that went out of country. And so we had the right, it was the correct list. It just put the last names and the first names wrong. So.
Okay. It sounds like someone had an Excel spreadsheet.
Exactly.
Up, and they did a sort in one column that didn't apply to the whole spreadsheet. So you had,
yes,
what happened. That's
exactly what happened. So we're getting lots of phone calls, but we are resending out those notices to so those voters that are in Fairbanks 1 are assured that their information is correct.
Okay, and then if someone does show up, because this is almost guaranteed to happen, that someone will just do it out of motor memory, whatever, they'll show up to the library And are they going to see clearly marked signs that say, hey, your polling place has temporarily moved this year, go to the Carlson Center?
We're going to try to do that, but also you're going to see all the construction that's there at the Nolwine Library, so we might not even be able to hardly get into the actual parking lot.
Okay, so you'll do what you can as far as marking so mm-hmm. for the people who do show up. Because you just know if someone's voted in the same place for 10 yep. or 20 or 30 years, you have that motor memory ingrained. You're just going to go there out of reflex, basically.
Exactly.
So, and then I guess this is a change with redistricting as a result of the census. And it's not new this year. It's just a continuation. So, but we have different precincts. So the actual voting locations, didn't they change slightly for a few of the precincts versus before the redistricting?
That's correct. Before the redistricting, we had 40 precincts here at the borough. Now we have 32 precincts. And what the state did is when they divided up the precincts, they just pulled more voters together than normal. So the city of Fairbanks, before redistricting, had 12 precincts, and they're down to 7 precincts that are within the side of the city of Fairbanks. And so that was, and then they also lowered the number of some of the smaller precincts that were out in the areas that they could go to the same district, but in a different precinct location.
Okay, just a moment here. So for everyone who's listening, our call-in number is 458-8255. That is also 458-TALK, or 458-8255. At this time, throughout the rest of the program, if you are interested in calling in and asking some election questions or other election or questions for the borough clerk, now's a great time to call in. But back to this absentee in person. There's two places that can be done. That can be done at either City Hall. And is that borough staff that are running that, or are the city staff kind of hybrid borough staff at for a moment while they're helping with that piece of the election?
So you have to remember, on October 3rd, we're running three elections. We're doing the borough election, the City of Fairbanks election, and the City of North Pole election. We run those elections together. So this both city clerk's office have the, we provide them the ballots and to go ahead and, so if you're just a borough voter and you're at City Hall, you could actually vote an in-person absentee ballot, just a borough ballot there at City Hall here in Fairbanks. If you're a City of Fairbanks resident and a borough resident, you could get both ballots there and vote in-person absentee. Same thing at City of North Pole. Some folks in with City of North Pole, maybe they don't want to drive all the way in, but they want to vote in-person absentee because they can't make it to their polling place. They can go there and just get their borough ballot. Or if they're a resident, they can get their of the city, they can get their city and borough ballot. So, and those are conducted by those offices because they are also, you know, they are part of this election. They're responsible through the process of, you know, doing their candidate filing, paperwork, and all of that. We just conduct the election at the same time, which is done from my office. And because of that, if you want to get an absentee ballot either mailed to you or emailed or faxed to you, you contact our office because we're the ones that do all that work.
Well, and I'll just say for myself personally, the reason why I like to vote early over at Shoppers Forum rather than an absentee in person, which I had done maybe once or twice. I've also voted in person, of course. But I like the idea myself that my ballot will be counted on election night and reported in the tallies that the news reports on. Mm-hmm. And that's typically the case I think that's always been the case if you vote early. And that's usually the case, this is where you go outside the role of the clerk, but that's usually the case if you vote in person. It isn't always, because occasionally there's a precinct that reports so late on election night that it's past the reporting deadline for the press. And so sometimes they'll be like, well, this is 30 of 33 precincts or whatever, and you could be in one of those three precincts that just didn't report. But I personally just like my vote to be counted on that day. You're listening to KFAR, Problem Corner, 660 AM. We'll be back after the break.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
With summertime comes those epic family adventures. Last thing you need are car troubles leaving you on the side of the highway. So make sure everything is running smoothly. Just swing your car or truck by Pearson Auto. From your AC to your radiator, to your fluid levels, belts, and battery. Crew at Pearson's will make sure your next summer adventure doesn't come with any surprises. Well, almost no surprises. That's Pearson Auto off the Rich Highway and on Airport across from Pikes. Pearson Automotive, your dealership alternative.
Do you find yourself with an inexperienced attorney or a 33% contingency fee? Get a review of your personal injury case from an attorney with years of experience at Jason Wiener & Associates free of charge. And give yourself peace of mind while giving us peace of mind that your personal injury matter is being properly handled. We offer a wide range of contingency fee rates, including a 20% or hourly rate contingency agreement on select cases. Jason Wiener & Associates, 907-452-5196. We're here to help.
This time of year, nobody wants to talk about winter, but it's always good to be prepared. Like with the trees in your yard. Some of them might be leaning a bit, and they could take out a power line, hit a car, or worse, your house. So take care of it now with the professionals at the Great Alaska Tree Company. They can take down troubled trees, cut them up, and haul them away. That's what Great Alaska Tree Company does. Licensed, bonded, insured. So be prepared with the Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Call me for a free estimate for your year-round and emergency service at 978-4702.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies today with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 68. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 51. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast again tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 62. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks and North Pole. You're listening to Problem Corner. Our call-in number is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. This is Aaron Lojeski, guest hosting in for David Peruse, and our actual guest in the studio today is April Tricky, the borough clerk, and we were just talking about a bunch of different ways to vote, and we actually didn't hit them all. So you've got your early voting, you've got your absentee in person, which is kind of like a surrogate for a quasi form of early voting. You get to vote early, but it's not, it's counted like a normal absentee as if you mail it in, which is what I wanted to talk about next, is we still have traditional mail-in absentee ballots.
That's correct. So if somebody wants a ballot by mail, they have to fill out an application, and those application, that application must be received in our office by September the 26th by 5 p.m. So if for some reason you are out of state and you need to have a ballot mailed to you, you can request that application. Those applications are available online at our elections website, which is fnsb.gov/elections, and you can download that application there.
So as long as someone makes it, puts in a ballot application by Tuesday, September 26th, that means the clerk's office processes that, and then basically as soon as that can be processed, a ballot is mailed out to that voter.
That's correct, and we try to make sure that anything that's received by noon that day, we make sure it gets out in the mail. If it's received after that, it passed our deadline. So we really try to work very hard. I've got great staff that to get those ballots in the mail, because we know people are a little worried about making sure they actually get their ballot in time so that they can vote it before election. It needs to be voted on or before election day and postmarked on or before election day, and then returned back to us a week later.
Okay.
By mail.
Must be postmarked by election day and make it back within 1 week. And so this is something, like, I know it maybe that it's never even happened in the last decade, but one thing that makes me nervous is if I voted absentee, dropped it in the mail, what happens if something weird happens with the post office, there's a blizzard or whatever, you know, some problem, and that arrives 1 day late? Like, I know that's a low probability event. I just don't like the idea that a post office screw up could make my vote not count.
Right. So if you don't feel comfortable with that and you have a concern, another way that our code allows you is to vote electronic. And some people feel comfortable with voting electronically, some people don't. And you can request that your ballot be faxed to you, and you can return it back to us by fax, which is basically a POTS line or an analog line. It's a secured line, it's not on the network. And or you can email it back to us, and we have a special email account that that goes to where very limited people have access to it. So one of the things when you vote electronically, and even when you sign your oath, you have to have an understanding that someone is basically going to see your vote, and that those are election officials, their staff in my office. We've got to secure it, put it back together so the canvas board can look at that. So it's really it's your level of comfortability. Are you comfortable with the mail services of getting it back, or do you prefer to do it by email or by fax? It's a comfortability of the voter.
Well, for me, since I live in the borough, I'll just go vote early.
That's correct.
If I was overseas in a country maybe where I didn't trust the mail system or whatever, and I had procrastinated like I usually do, I think I'd be looking at maybe the email route. Unless I was in, maybe I shouldn't say this on there, unless I was in China. I don't want the CCP looking at who I'm voting for. But at any rate, watch, now I'm going to have a red spies watching me for the rest of my life. Okay, great. We'll make sure you don't get in trouble there, April. You probably shouldn't make any comments about that. But at any rate, changing gears here. Let's see, I'm just checking my list here of all the different dates. I think we may have gotten just about everything when it comes to logistics of the election covered.
Can I just cover one more thing?
Yeah.
So if you do want a ballot sent to you electronically, there is a different deadline on that. You can actually apply for an absentee ballot to be sent electronic to you. Those applications are due to the clerk's office by noon on October the 2nd. So, you know, sometimes people, you don't always realize, you don't expect to travel and you get an emergency and you have to leave or something work comes up. There is that avenue. If you're not able to get to the early vote station prior to that, you can apply for a ballot up till noon the day before the election, and that would be sent to you electronically.
Okay, so that works really well if something comes up sort of last minute here. And then, you know, there are a couple of ballot initiatives coming up, and I suppose I may take some liberties myself to editorialize a little bit here. So the first one, you may be able to help me on this, just the mm-hmm. content matter. Ballot Initiative 1 has to do with an increase in borough powers to accept some settlement money, some opioid settlement money, and gain the ability to take that money and expend it. Is that right?
To provide grants to local providers for the OPD.
Mm-hmm. And then Ballot Initiative 2, I've actually got the ordinance that authorized that printed out in my hand, and the unique thing about that was it passed almost unanimously, and there was only one person who voted against putting it on the ballot. That was me. So it is the farm ballot initiative, and so the farm ballot initiative would create the possibility to exempt certain farm structures from taxation. And basically, it's meant to be an economic incentive to incentivize local food production in the area. And I'll just let people know kind of mathematically why I voted against that. And that was because any additional property tax exemption, yes, it does reduce that particular property's taxes, but effectively it shifts that to everybody else. So if we do go ahead and pass this, it is going to put upward pressure on everybody's mill rate who does pay one. So that's just kind of the math. And then the other thing is, we don't know, we really don't have a good idea of how many people are going to qualify for this and actually apply for it. So depending on the volume, this actually could put a lot of load on staff, and we may need to hire extra staffers. The next year's assembly will have that discussion in budget time. The administration will come back and let us know what the application load is actually going to be. And if we have to hire another staffer, that's additional expense for the borough, additional upward pressure on taxes. So. That's where I came from there. I know I'm holding the minority opinion, but at any rate, it's on the website. It's and Ms. Tricky, where's the website where someone could read either of these ballot initiative authorizing ordinances?
So the ballot propositions, they're on our elections website, and it also has links to the ordinances that adopted both of them. Again, that's fnsb.gov/elections. We'll take you right to the page.
And then someone could read that ordinance, the other one, find all of these dates for all these different types of ways to vote that we just talked about.
Correct.
And they can also get a list of the candidates as well, right?
That is correct, which also, you're going to talk about the candidate pamphlet?
Why don't you talk about the candidate pamphlet?
So we do have a candidate pamphlet that we started last year, and it was great that the assembly changed code to allow us to do a candidate pamphlet, and actually both city councils for Fairbanks and North Pole did the same thing. So we put together a joint candidate pamphlet, and that's going to be available. We're hoping to have it out on our website on September the 1st, on Friday, it's this coming Friday. If not, we'll have it. We're supposed to have it out there 30 days prior, so it will be there by Friday for sure. Also, the notice of election will be published in the paper on Sunday, September the 3rd. And on the front of that, we'll have a QR code for those who are technical savvy. They can use that QR code, and it will go right directly to the candidate pamphlet, and you can download that information for you. So there's a couple ways. You can go on our website, you can download it, and then we'll also have copies available at our office, at our front counter there.
Okay, so I'm not asking for a comment on this first part. This is a statement. I know there have been substantial grammatical errors in the candidate pamphlet before. Now here's the part where I can ask you as the clerk, whose fault is that when that's seen?
That's the candidate's fault, because we are required as code to print it exactly as they provided it to us. So we've really encouraged, you might want to check your proofing, have somebody else check your proofing, because we all know when we write, you people make mistakes. That's just a common thing. It's a normal thing. Even when you write an email, you should go back and reread it, or maybe sometimes take 10 minutes, go back and read it, because people make grammar mistakes.
Yeah, I got feedback last year that there was someone running for a fairly high office that had substantial grammatical errors. I think that person got elected anyway, but it was not the clerk's office fault. You were just doing your job and reporting on what you had received, essentially,
and
repackaging it.
Yeah, there's a notice in the pamphlet that says that, so it's maybe small, though.
And I just got to let people know, I'm not really one to cast stones on this. I'm usually the one who has the grammatical errors. Sometimes just what's in my head doesn't make it to my fingers, and then it doesn't read quite right, and I'm sure some of you have had that same problem as well. But, sometimes you proof it the next day or get a friend to look at it, and that helps quite a lot. So we've got just a few more minutes here. There's still time for a last-minute caller if someone wants to call at 458-8255. But absent that, there have been some concerns about election security. And I'll just let folks know, sometimes I can put on my wannabe criminal hat and just think about things like, if I want to break a system or cheat or whatever, how could that be done in order to kind of, in my mind, stress test something. And I have done this on the borough level, and it is, in my opinion, highly secure. But I do have a question. When did we get our actual machines for counting the ballots?
So last year was the first year that we had to purchase our own precinct scanners. In previous years, and with a system that we had before that, we utilized the state's equipment.
Okay, so the interesting thing is when the state had it, we stored it, didn't we? The borough stored the machines.
No, they stored. They've always stored their own equipment. What we've always stored for them, and we still borrow, is tables and chairs, the ballot, the black ballot box, and the booths. We store those for the state here.
Okay, so the borough has its own machines and stores them in a secure location.
That's
and
correct.
No one can mess with them. Like, we've got them locked down, right?
Yep, they're locked down. There's only three people that have access to that room.
And those machines are also, they're not connected to any sort of network or anything while they're in operation,
That's correct.
So no expert hacker can do anything. Okay. Right. Well, you know what? We are actually coming to the end of the hour here. Thank you, Fairbanks North Pole, for listening to KFAR Problem Corner, 660 AM. This was Aaron Lojeski filling in as guest host for David Pruse, and the borough clerk, April Tricky. Thank you so much for coming on the radio.
Thanks for having me.